So if, say, someone has been killed because of violence related to not giving dowry, at that time, we as devotees, especially if we knew that person, how should we respond in that situation? Generally, if some injustice has happened, some atrocity has happened, bringing up past karma at that time can be very insensitive. We can come off as terribly insensitive at that time, because we have because if that the whole feeling among people at that time, this is a gross injustice, and it is an injustice. And if we say it is because of past karma it has happened, then in a sense we are blaming the victim, and that is very bad. So the argument about karma, something which has to be very carefully employed. It is nobody, say, when Draupadi is dishonored or Sita is abducted, nobody tells them that all this happened to this because of your past karma only. Because at that point, the concern is not what is the past karma. The concern is what is one's dharma. So Ram doesn't think that Sita was abducted because of her past karma. Ram says, "What is my dharma? And my dharma as her husband is to protect her." And he does whatever it takes to protect her. So generally, we are not meant to deal with people based on some conceptions of what their past karma was. We are meant to deal with people based on what our present dharma is. So these two examples are standard give, that if a thief has robbed a person and then that person goes to a king and reports the robbery, and the king says, "It's because of your past karma you are robbed." Now that would be dereliction of duty for the king. The king should be concerned, "What is my dharma?" Now, if despite the king's best efforts to locate the thief and regain the wealth, if the wealth doesn't come, then the victim can consider it's because of my past karma that I lost this wealth. So they can accept that it is inevitable. Say if a small child is crying, the mother should not think the child is crying because of past karma. Child, because of the past karma. The child is thinking, "What is my duty? I have to comfort the child, I have to pacify the child, I have to take care of the child." So similarly, when some kind of terrible atrocity has happened, say somebody has been killed because of not giving dowry, it's a brutal crime against humanity. And to bring past karma over there is wrong. What we can talk about is, at that time, it largely happens because of excessive materialism. So now there is a big confusion in India about what is Indian tradition. The essence of India's tradition is the spiritual knowledge, is the process for raising one's consciousness to the spiritual level. There are various yoga traditions, there are various yogic processes culminating in bhakti yoga. Now that these yogic practices for the spiritual knowledge and the practice and the spiritual processes, they are the most essential gift of the Indian tradition. But sakale neha mahata yogo nashtah parantapa. Krishna says that with the passage of time, the pure spiritual knowledge was lost. So similarly, with the passage of time, the spiritual essence has been obscured, and a lot of practices have become fossilized. Fossilized means they have become very rigid, like fossils. And a fossil usually are of objects which are at one time alive, active, usable. But then the fossils are not of much use. So the caste system is an example like that, where the original purpose was division for cooperation, division of labor so that everybody would cooperate. But now it has become a system for discrimination, and trips people apart nowadays. So similarly, dowry, it had a particular purpose originally, But that purpose has been largely lost now. So it just becomes a money extortion tool. And this by no means is a central part of the tradition, nor is it a part of the tradition. Dowry was just a voluntary gift that was given. And not only was it just a gift, it was entirely voluntary. You know, when Bhishma goes to Madra Kingdom to seek the hand of Madri for Pandu. At that time, Shalva, who is his brother, Shalya, one of them is a demon and the other is a nice person. So he says that our tradition in our family, the tradition is that when a girl gets married, the boy gives a gift to the girl. So other than the girl giving a gift to the boy, girl's family giving a gift to the boy, the boy's family gives a gift to the girl. And Bhishma says, I know about it. That's why I come prepared. And he gives a handsome gift to, and then they agree to the proposal, the marriage takes place. So in that sense, in the Mahabharata, there was deference to difference in traditions. Yes, that a particular tradition was like this, that a particular tradition was like that. The deference, it's respectful, not that this is right and that is wrong. Deference to that. So by no means was dowry mandatory, and by no means, and certainly it was not to be extorted, and nobody was to be exploited for that. So the form of dowry, the word dowry or the form of dowry may have come from the Indian tradition, and it may have a past in which it has come, but the form, not the form, the principle that dowry is given, that may have come from the past, but the form in which the dowry happens now, that has got nothing to do with the essence of the tradition, which was actually spiritual. It is simply materialistic, and it is because of excess of materialism and the greed that has come because of that, because of which this is happening. So to the extent people are greedy, to that extent this kind of abominable things will happen. And these, for countering these, there is in the Vedic culture, there was a for countering any kind of wrongdoing, there's a combination of Shastra and Shastra. So Shastra is used by the Brahmanas to educate people so that they can make right choices. And Shastra is used by the Kshatriyas to discipline those who don't make the right choices. So broadly speaking, in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we focus on Shastra so that we can share spiritual knowledge, share the process, spiritual processes by which people become empowered to make wiser choices, to avoid materialistic greed, lust, anger, envy, and anatha like that. But when people commit crimes like this, then Shastra is needed. And that is where the rule of law is required to penalize people who do this kind of atrocities. So that's what, in such a situation, we should not directly label someone as guilty unless a fair trial has been done. But we can definitely say that we fully support taking legal action so that the proper facts are uncovered and the action is taken against them. And there is absolutely no need to bring in past karma, at least in a public forum. At an individual level, if we know the relatives of somebody who has been victimized and we want to offer them some consolation, then we can tell them about how Krishna is with everyone, and that how ultimately we have relationships in this world which are there, but we have all a lasting relationship with Krishna. And wherever that soul has gone now, Krishna is there with them, with that soul. And if we pray to Krishna, then Krishna will comfort that soul wherever that is, where that soul is there. So rather than getting into the cause of why something happened, bringing karma as a cause, see, karma is in the sense of a dispassionate analysis. When we are doing the expression of karma, it makes sense. But it doesn't make emotional sense when a person is suffering. And when a person is in a trauma at that time, it's the emotions that are turbulent. So I don't see anywhere in scripture where somebody is distressed and karma is talked about? When Abhimanyu is killed unfairly by the Kauravas, Arjuna is devastated, is shattered, and while consoling him, I don't think Krishna uses anywhere the argument that Abhimanyu is past karma because of which he died, or it was because of your past karma that you lost a son. This reminds him that this is a world where calamities happen, everybody has to die, and wise people who are made of stern stuff, they do not let themselves be overcome by adversity like this. They remember their duty, and rather than by their own grief increase the grief of others, they act in a way by which they can decrease others' grief. So that way we can try to whatever is appropriate at that level. Generally, we present at that time some connection with Krishna as a shelter amidst that distress. If they pray with Krishna, they will feel some shelter. If they pray to Krishna, Krishna will shelter that person. But what is happening to get into the cause of that? It's a very dicey thing to do at that time. It's a serious atrocity that has happened, and it needs to be investigated, and proper action has to be taken. That's what we can tell them.